This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so we are back online, and I think Kim Turner is the only one absent right now, and I know she'll be back in with us in just a couple of moments. So our blood sugar is back to where it should be, right? At least 2 hours. So shall we start at the top of the list on the line items and just...
I have one proposal I was going to throw out. Does anyone think, rather than starting on page 111 and going through program by program, would you rather use the survey results and either start from the bottom up or the top down? That's just another way to do it. We're still going to look at the programs, but would you rather start on page 111 and go through the programs that way, or would you rather incorporate the surveys on page 29 and 30 and start from the bottom up or the top down?
I suggest the latter, just because the top programs are going to be, there's probably going to be much more consensus about the top programs than the bottom programs.
So would you start with the bottom up
bottom
and
up.
Not, okay?
Use the surveys, yeah. Use the surveys.
Okay. Okay. And so they start on page 29 of the materials?
That surveys.
Right.
So, and Stephen, you're going to track the decisions. And who prepared the materials that can help us quickly get to the pages that reflect, like, civil small claims, probate, mental health, V3? V3 would be on page what? Are we talking survey results? So we're going to use the surveys bottom up to look at the programs, but then we need to know what pages in the report to refer to.
And don't we also need to know
probably 125.
So how much money we're dealing with?
It's in here. That's what she
said. Since we're going all over the place, the program folks who are going to be needed to ask some questions, we're not going by the schedule that we had.
Yeah, we're just letting you know that we will, it'll, if it's going to be here, there, or everywhere, we need to get staff ready if there is a question. When there is a question, we expect them to be tracking. So we told them to listen so that they can be prepared. But now everybody's got to be focused.
Well, if you think that's too disorganized.
More important is the process that you want to follow.
Okay.
Let's do it this way, and then so can you tell us the page numbers where the allocation is?
For line 49, page 39 and 29 and 30, it's civil small. It's basically V3. Do we know where V3 is in the materials? No, we're talking about the allocation reduction option.
We also need to know where the comment sheet on the survey is, too, because I think that's helpful.
Page
52 for the survey. Can't be 108 because our materials don't start until 111.
So,
yeah. These are the program descriptions.
Oh, page 52. Yeah.
Of the survey or of the material? The pagination on the materials first, trying to figure out if it's on the survey or on the materials. That would be my favorite.
So 52 of 72 behind tab. 3D, right?
It's actually page 87 at the
yeah,
bottom.
Yeah, good job. The problem with that is it doesn't give us the cost. And so that, Stephen.
Right.
108. Which is
handy.
Summary, but not totally.
What is that that you have in your hand?
The 108.
You want to provide that. It's just that they're on top.
Yeah, 108 is a summary.
By program, it's the same number as the survey number. So
you have a larger version, Stephen.
We can put it up on the screen.
Of 108.
And what page is this?
There's 108.
Okay.
What line item is civil?
33.
Okay, page 108, line item 33 is the civil small claims probate and mental health. Page 87, which is under 3D, is the survey information regarding the same.
And what page is the information about the program?
In the, and I think you had that under the program description, starting on 111, what, where was the program description for? 148. All right, we're all together.
Or that's 138.
138, okay. Okay. So one thing related to V3 is, I believe in Slotko and Stephen, refresh my memory, but didn't the trial court budget advisory committee already recommend to the council to consider a phase off for V3?
We did that 2 years ago, I think, and the Judicial Council Technology Committee has been working on that, and I believe that they will make a recommendation to the council in April about what to do about phasing the cost of V3 out of the IMS.
So with that, is there any particular assumption that we should start from, given we don't yet know what that recommendation will be?
In discussions that I've had with Judge Herman, the recommendation, I don't believe, will be to immediately cease the funding from the IMS. I don't know. It could be that if they decide to eliminate support for it, it would be over a period of time. Or if they decide that the courts who utilize it should pay for it, it would also be incremental. So I don't think there will be, and I hesitate only because they have not brought a formal recommendation yet.
So the assumption should be that it would remain constant into the next year.
I think at the least.
That would be the most conservative assumption to make.
Do
I have more to add for that. One of the difficulties is the drop-off points for each of the courts is different. And so one of the dilemmas that we're dealing with is...
What's a drop-off point?
Conversion to another system, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. So they're all different for all four of the courts. And so the problem is then, how do you handle who's paying for what? As one court drops off and another drops off, then in theory that burden to support the existing system increases. So then those courts that have the later drop-off date are carrying more of the freight, so to speak, which obviously is inequitable. That's a major problem in terms of they're still looking for a solution. Being a JCTC, Judge Herman is, in terms of how to handle that transition. There's no doubt that everybody wants the transition off. It's just how to do it.
So then our most conservative assumption is that it stays as it is into next year.
Do you have anything you can share in terms of the out year on when we're looking at not having it in IMF, so that if we are doing what Rebecca suggests, which is kind of ongoing,
I think it's 1920 is the last.
This one, you're 1920?
Yeah.
1920 for them to all be off?
Yeah.
Fiscal year 1920?
Yeah.
2020.
So the fundamental question is, so we know that, you know, and so there was a time and place when CCMS was going to be a statewide. Some of us waited our turn, didn't get on the bus. Some of us didn't have to use our funds to fund our own solution. So the issue is, it's going to be until 2020. You can't disconnect. But the issue is, should the IMF continue to fund it, or should that be shifted to someplace else? And the someplace else is, just like some other courts that are not benefiting from that, have the court approve that cost.
as big as that is an option.
I think that's it is a very valid point, and I think that's the point that Judicial Council, the Technology Committee, has been wrestling with and working with those courts on that particular issue.
I mean, I you know, the courts that are on the system, I think they're all fairly on the V3 program, are all fairly large courts. They're sharing the IMF is picking up a $6.2 million burden right now, if that's how I'm
reading this. I think $600,000 is reimbursed, so I think it's closer to $5.0, but you're close enough. You're rounding up, yeah.
So, and I completely understand that many of those courts are under the WASA model, not seeing a lot of funding restoration coming back to them in the current year and in perhaps the future year. But I have to say, as Jose did, that there are many, many courts like mine, like Jose's, where we've been picking up full boats on our system, aged and costly though they may be, for many, many years, with no offset, no statewide contribution to the shoring up of our case management system. So I think it becomes kind of an equity issue that we have to look at. I guess it's, you know, that it's complicated, that it's, these are big systems and so forth. To continue funding at this level or even a, you know, slightly reduced level for another 4 years seems, I don't know, it just seems like it's a bit too big a pill to swallow.
David?
I think Stephen first.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm just muttering. Sorry.
I'm listening to you. I know it's muttering versus a true comment.
I find it very, no.
So what I was going to say is I completely agree that we need to establish a strategy that coincides with what was recommended a couple of years ago, and that is to enable them to migrate off of those particular systems. And I certainly understand the necessity of looking at equity in terms of courts like mine who had to spend money to replace the existing system. And others who are in the same situation. But I hope everybody recognizes that those courts that are currently on V3 expended many millions of dollars to get that system tested and developed for the benefit of all of us.
It's not something that they did so in a vacuum. And what has changed is the decision by the council to discontinue CCMS. It's not a decision that each of those courts made. It was a decision made by the council. And I agree, it was the right decision to make because of the implications. But I think in all fairness, they did not walk into this under the assumption that they were going to have to invest those many millions of dollars and to be cut off at a certain point in time. So I think it's appropriate for us to give them that opportunity. I think most of them agree that they have to get off of V3. We need to give them time to do so. And I think if we're looking for long-term stability in this fund, looking at the future a year from now and looking at the future 5 years from now is equally important. So I think the appropriate thing to do is to notice everybody that the recommendation is that they be able to sustain their systems independently, but also do it in a way that is sensitive to the predicaments that they are in, especially with the new WAFM adjustment. So
I have a suggestion for the group to consider. So considering Kim and your comments and David's, if we look at the amount that they reimburse, which I think is $600,000, so, Stephen, what page do we see the court reimbursements on? It's on a different sheet. I don't see it on this one. But I think they reimburse $600,000 for V3. On where in the documentation does it reflect the court reimbursement for the program? Okay, so, but because this is one of those that they reimburse about $600,000, I guess one question we could ask, is that enough? You know, it may not be that it's all of it. It may not be that it's none of it. But if we look at the reimbursement, is that a different thing that we'd look at and say, okay, we wouldn't cut you off, but is $600,000 enough to reimburse the branch? So that's just a different point.
I like that.
So, so I like that concept, and I also like the other concept that you said earlier, which is the phase-out. And so if folks know, and the problem with the technology, it's a chicken and an egg. So we say, well, we can't do anything because technology, folks haven't weighed in on it. At some point, the budget ultimately pushes. And so if we do what you say, there's no reason we couldn't pick up a bigger share of what they're doing, and then say next year subsidy ends, that get, or maybe 2 years, maybe it's 50%, and then in 2 years it goes away. Then you've got a permanent solution for one of the major pieces for the improvement fund. We have a permanent solution for it.
I think that's a
Judge Earl has a
concern.
Judge Earl?
I'm going to try to find the report, but my concern is the budget committee already made a recommendation to the council, and that is direct the Judicial Council Technology Committee to come up with a plan to get these folks out of the IMS, and that's what they've been working on. So we've already brought a recommendation. The Judicial Council Technology Committee has been working on that because there's obviously it's not just a budget decision. It has to do with how they phase them off and drop that type of thing. So
is discussion over? Should we just forget this one?
Put a deadline on that?
We did not put a deadline on that, but they're going to bring a recommendation to the council in April. So I don't know how we now jump in and say, well, we're making a recommendation on how to do this when we've already done that. And I'll find the report.
Now, Judge Earl, didn't you say, though, I thought the discussion was that wouldn't stop us from coming back and looking at it as we do this budget cut, that we were going to do an interim recommendation, but we still would come back and look at these items.
Let me see if I can find the report that I took to the council when we did this.
And I think that Sherry's recommendation or at least suggestion would not compromise that work, in that they're looking at a long-term solution. How do you get those courts to a stable, a new solution? What we're saying is there's still an expense that is being incurred. And the issue now of fairness is you're going to need to come up with a greater share of the benefit that you're deriving from the three. That I don't think that the technology committee, with all deference to them, are going to deal with the issue of cost allocation.
So what I hear is basically two thoughts as it relates to a recommendation. The first being that they a recommendation that they those courts contribute more, and then we've got to talk about what an appropriate contribution we believe that would be. And the second is a phase off as soon as practicable. And again, keeping in mind that the Judicial Council Technology Committee is working on that issue, but I don't think that keeps us from having a recommendation on it as well.
Can we have a phase out on the funding, though? I mean, you know, while the technology committee may say it's going to take one county 5 years to get off the system, perhaps we say, okay, but you have to contribute more each of those 5 years. So whether it go down 50% after a year or whether it go down some other proportion over the course of 2 years or 3 years or whatever we decide, I mean, can't we put some kind of limitation on the funding out of this?
Judge Earl, and then
Kurt Sutherland, is the Judicial Council Technology Committee in their discussions about that going to make a recommendation, or are they considering a recommendation that would include reduced funding over a staggered period of time?
And that's one of the considerations that they're looking at.
So I think I really think they're reviewing this issue, and I'm going to look for my report, but I think they're reviewing this issue, and I'm uncomfortable that we would make a recommendation when we've already asked them to look at it, and they are so close to completing. I think we need to know what their recommendation is.
Kim?
Well, so I guess going to what Judge Earl says, I think it's difficult sort of hamstrings this committee
we have a charge to come up with $11.25 million. We don't know what the X factor is now. You know, some other committee has that, you know, piece of data in its report, and I think that creates a dilemma for us, because if we say, okay, we're not going to deal with any of the V3 costs this year, we're going to leave it alone, and then it turns out that that we reduce more dramatically other programs, other worthy programs. You know, it's a bit of a problem that we have. I think, to put it in a technical term, too many cooks in the kitchen taking all the money. So I don't know how we unscramble that now that that is in fact where this is going, but I think it's appropriate, and I defer to the chairs to at least give some feedback to the technology folks about what are, you know, to what we're contemplating in terms of a, as Sherry put it, as a way to start to cost shift some of this out of the IMF and back to those courts, and to let them know kind of what our parameters look like, because we have a different problem than the technology committee has.
Yep. Judge Earl, have you come across those notes yet, or
I'm
still?
I'm trying to find the report looking for it.
I don't remember what.
Judge Smith.
My question is a little different, and that is, how many of these programs are affected, are impacted in the same way, perhaps, that number line 49 is impacted?
Well, how many have been deferred to other judicial council committees?
Are there other either bodies, task force?
B2's gone.
Yeah, okay. V2's gone. I think V3
just this
probably
one.
Just
is.
Just one out of the 49? I just wondered, because, I mean, if we're going to run into the same, we need to park a certain number of them so that we know what we're talking about and what we're not talking about before we even start. Plus, we have 49 lines, and it's one of them.
No, we got to kind of hustle, I think, to get through 48 lines. I mean,
yeah,
we have to come up with a little
we're
bit.
We're
going to
grab around the wheel here. We're going to
yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's stop on 33, given the issue. And so the next one, item that we would look at is?
Well, it's similar. It's interim case management systems, which is a similar, I don't know what number it is.
I found a recommendation.
Oh. Yeah, what did you say?
It was from April of 2014, and it was the recommendation is direct the Judicial Council Technology Committee to develop a technology plan that would result in the future elimination of subsidies from the IMF and the trust fund to courts for CCMS V3 and sustained justice addition costs.
So the interim case management system is in the same boat.
It's
a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it feels like 2 years.
And we don't have one.
No, but I think it's coming to the council in April.
So I think we need to defer this one and the next item then.
Yeah.
So.
That's $6 million.
Big
hold on money. Between the two. Between the
two. That is so much money that it kind of makes it difficult, I think, to address what we're doing, don't you think?
Well, that's what the point I think Kim Turner was making is it is such a significant amount of money, and it's going to go away at X date. So here we are impacting very viable programs because a decision has yet to be made on that.
So is there an opportunity for this committee to come back to get the subcommittee to meet again after the April council meeting to, you know, if we put a few things in the parking lot, if we don't solve the entire $11.25 million problem today?
Can we talk about it and put an asterisk by it?
Yeah.
Some sort of courtesy comment as to what we're thinking as a committee? Because it really does impede our work here if we can't address some
yeah.
things, is considering
yeah.
the budget as a whole. I mean, that's what we're doing. They're not doing that.
Right.
So if we kind of go forward with how we were going to think about it, okay, we can maybe don't say anything, or I don't know, whatever, but I think we have to at least consider it, come up with a number, and move on to something else.
I mean, I agree with Winnie. I think, you know, we should at least provide a recommendation of what we're thinking, because this is half our nut.
Yep.
6 million is half, over half.
I think that we can... So this will, the recommendation that we make today will go to our budget committee, but then it'll go to the council in April. And I think we can provide a recommendation on V3, recognizing it might be different than the Judicial Council Technology Committee. But I things we'll have to do. So I think we should have the conversation, and then maybe we should regroup before that council meeting because we'll have their recommendations. We'll get it maybe 5 days beforehand.
Well, is there any value in us being participating in that technology committee meeting where they will be making a recommendation saying, we looked at this, these were our thoughts as it relates to the IMF fund?
I can always give public comment because it's an open meeting, so I can ask Judge Herman to participate.
Well, I think we need to, with an asterisk, discuss what we think would be an appropriate increase in their payment towards it, and what we believe from the IMF fund would be an appropriate phasing off stage.
So if you turn to page 90 of your materials, that's the one that's related to this interim case management system, and it would also be line number 35 on your summary, which is on page 108. So now you can kind of see.
Can you give us the case number
again?
So it's 90, and it's line 35 on 108.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The courts that are currently required new case management systems have an annual maintenance cost that they incur, and that number varies depending on the system. I was wondering if it would be helpful to actually determine the courts what that actual cost is, so there's a little bit of context. Those obligations that we currently have, even without the new case management systems, are pretty substantial, and maybe that's one way to look at it, is to kind of offset the annual cost, not as a whole, but individually, so that we can maybe land on an appropriate number if we're going to be talking about an increased level of offset.
So it's a number with some logic to it, not
correct.
Just a figure pulled out of thin air.
$6 million means a lot to, well, more for some courts than others, and depending on what that, if we could break it down, it may be something that's more equitable in terms of trying to figure out what we should recommend.
Is there any way to liaison over to the technology committee? I mean, have Marcia or Lori or someone be involved with Judge Herman's group to say, okay, look, we've got to deal with this $6 million. We can't possibly support this. And have someone with that committee to explain to them what we're doing, because I don't know that committees know what the other committees are having to deal with.
And one other thing that I would throw out, I know Stephen and I are usually on the same page 95% of the time. Yeah, okay, give her a few. But here, because of staging people to be converted to a new system, you can't leave the courts that are remaining to pay the bulk. So it might be one of those things where rather than staging it so that the last man standing now has the full $6 million, $5 million, whatever it is, we might say we'll always fund up to this 2020, 50% or whatever amount we think is the right amount, because I do think it would be too difficult for the last man standing to carry it all. It's very different than staging off an individual court or, you know, or something like that, because the costs are what they are to host it. So I'm just throwing that out. I'm just throwing out ideas for the group to talk about.
Kim. I'm just wondering, and I realize we've now spent a half hour talking about this one line item or
$6 million, though.
Yeah, it's a big line item, but I'm wondering if maybe a better way to eat this elephant is to start with programs that are not entangled with some other committee. Let's see what kind of progress we make making cuts and reductions and restructuring of other programs to see where we end up and see if we have a gap, and is that gap a reasonable gap to fill out of the V3 end of the equation. I feel like we started with maybe the hardest program to kind of
Well,
I
think we did, and I think we're pretty far down this path. And I think what we need to do is come up with however, pardon me?
A target.
A target. And that's all it is a target with an asterisk that we can even come back tomorrow after we go through everything else and look at.
Oh, okay.
And
question on this?
Yes, Judge Lee.
In terms of phasing out of the V3 program, is that concurrent with phasing in of one of the Tyler IT justice and other systems?
Yes.
So part of how quickly they phase out depends on how quickly the vendors are able to achieve the end goal.
No, I think it could be the court's
ability to pay for it.
I just want to kind of get a clarification of that so that they're not left totally in the lurch.
So what if we just chose an amortization goal to be done in 5 years and put an asterisk after it and move on?
So if we say it's down to zero at the end of 5 years, amortize it each year, so what would that figure be?
Obviously, it's 20%, but it could be less in the beginning and more in the end. Whatever. Maybe that is something that the technology committee could help us refine in terms of how the cost would be spread.
So you're saying a 20% reduction
each
year for 5 years?
Right. As a target that could be modified in the face of reality.
I just wouldn't go down 100% because then the last court standing would pay 100%.
Wouldn't it be spread over all of the participants?
Yeah, but if there's four courts in V3 and one by one they come off based on their ability, you know, what else is going on in their court and so on, the last court standing would have the full $5 million in V3 to pay for, and I just think that's too much.
Well, I thought you had proposed it would not go down below 50%. For the last
quarter. Or whatever number y'all,
phase down, and then it wouldn't go below a certain threshold.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion, it's a one-year motion, reduce the subsidy by 25% next year. That gets you about $1.1 million.
To be shared between the V3 and interim, or are you talking V3 only? Because, see, interim is line 35, V3 is line 33. They're both at the bottom of the survey, and combination is over $6
million. Okay.
Or
both.
So it'd be both.
Reduce the subsidy by 25% next year.
But for the interim case management system, do those include courts that are not on V3? I'm not clear on that.
So yes.
Same courts.
Different courts.
So would you accept a friendly amendment?
Depends on what it is, huh?
So I like the idea of reducing the V3. I like the idea of bundling 33 and 35, but I think the interim case management systems, I think they could go down 25% because it's part V3 money, part sustained money. A lot of the sustained courts are some of the smallest courts, which are in a position now where I think that they could potentially, especially with the funding for it or WAFM, pick up some of the cost of the sustained hosting services. Because they don't, you know, I think that's one of the structural things we have to look at kind of in another part of our budgeting cycle. So 25% for the interim case management systems, but I think 25% for V3 in the first year is too rich. I would say 15% or 20% at the most. I just think it's a lot. It's, you know, it's a lot of money for four courts to have to absorb in 1 year.
So you're suggesting 15% for item 33, 25% for line item 35.
15% of half, right?
15% of.
I hate treating them differently, Kim. I just do.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Even if you split the difference and say 20%. I'd rather treat them equally as well.
And we've got $12 million, guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to cut out of these programs.
But I'd like your recommendation, Stephen, because we're just trying to solve this. We can regroup next year and look at it, but it gets us through at least this reduction for next fiscal year. What's that?
Are you seconding?
I second.
So can I ask a question? Would you say, you know, when you, in your motion, do you contemplate by making the reduction that the courts that participate in B3 and sustain would have to pick up the difference? Yeah, and how would that be allocated? Just pro rata?
25% reduction in the subsidy. So
is there a cost? I don't know the answer to this. Is there a cost model where we know that they can segregate those by court? I thought that was one of the problems, is identifying the amounts that each court is responsible for, because they're bundled costs.
So how do they reimburse the $600,000 now?
There might, and I don't know. I mean, I know that I've heard that about the six.
So my answer, Judge Earl, would be to not specify that, to allow as much flexibility for the technology, within judicial counsel staff, the technology folks, and the finance folks to figure out the best and most equitable way. We may not have all the details to do that right now, but 25% reduction in the subsidy out of the IMF fund, that's real money that starts to move us to the right direction. And we're going to have pain on every single item, and some of these are really, really tough. And so I'm just recommending a 25% reduction in the subsidy that comes out of this fund next year. And then next year we can look at it, and there'll be a plan by then of, you know, for future years. But this starts some real, positive movement in this direction.
And so that's line items 33 and 35 combined, a 25% reduction. That's the motion.
And we have a second.
And a second. Further discussion?
Hi. 25% to be split among the two?
Well, about the courts in both categories, V3 and interim.
25% each.
Yeah.
Correct.
And
are we discussion?
Yep.
I think that 25% might be too much the first year, and I would propose that we consider 15%. Just as a lot of money the first year.
I have to agree with Sherry.
What is the what's a dollar figure to 15%? My math is really not existing.
$750,000 approximately. If it's six million, right?
So, okay. And so then if you take that
down.
Do
the math, Stephen. Am I doing? okay.
Well, what about looking at 20% too? Like we were talking about phasing it out over a number of years.
Yeah.
I mean, 20%. I mean, we could pick any percentage.
The original was 25. You had mentioned 15. And I was saying split the difference with 20.
20.
And Judge Johnson had mentioned 20 earlier, too.
I'd be more comfortable with 20.
That's a 15?
That's a 15. Sorry, I can't read it because it's
so just tell us.
It's $1,035,000.
And that's at 25%, Blocko?
That was 15%.
15%?
Okay.
So 1.5 million.
1.5 at 20?
No,
1.4.
Is it 25? He's got 25
up there. He's just using that spreadsheet to do the math over there to show you.
I know, but he's got 25% as the
first. What's the right number we're seeing here?
What's the right number?
Well, for this 25%, it's 20.7. For the 15%, it's 1 million.
What's 20?
That's 20.
How less 20? Okay.
1.450.
Plus 13.
Yeah. So for V3 it would be 1.3, and for the sustained courts it would be $249,000.
Okay,
so that's $1.5 million,
yep,
with those two items right there.
I'm okay with that.
1.3.
And this is a recommendation with an asterisk, given our understanding that the technology committee is addressing the issue, but we would take it to them.
Yeah.
And it still needs to go to the Budget Advisory Committee.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So there's an opportunity to refine if necessary.
Yeah.
And was there a component of the motion, I can't remember now, that included the suggestion that we reach a certain goal by the end of 5 years?
No. So this was just 1 year. They're going to come back with a multi-year plan.
Okay.
So this is just starts it for next year. And then.
But you were at 25, so you're going to have to amend your motion to 20.
If everyone is good with 20,
all right. Here's the motion: 20%, 1 year.
Seconded.
Any additional discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
That was all.
All right.
Okay.
There we go. See how easy it is?
So easy.
Okay. The next one moving up from the bottom is Justice Corps, and I don't find that on the spreadsheet as a line item. I'm looking to tell you what pages. Oh, here it is, 15. So it's line 15, which means it's page number 57.
You're using the benefit provided by judicial branch. Is that the one you're using, as opposed to number of courts receiving direct
benefit? Yeah, but you know, if I didn't know which one. Yeah, which one would you like me to use, Judge Harmon? Because I don't care. I was just trying to figure out which one made the most sense.
No, I just wanted to be on the same page.
Yeah.
I had been looking at the
page
other one, trying to jump around to find you.
57.
So someone explain to me, please, what really the Justice Corps is.
So the Justice Corps is actually a federal grant that is used to hire people who assist self-help. And if we use our principles back here, it is not mandated. It benefits, I think, six courts. Where's the program description? Does it tell you that? Stephen, can you tell us the program description? 174. Seven courts. The money that's in the account is the grant match. It's the match component of the grant.
So it's a matching fund. If we eliminate it, we lose the federal money.
It is one. Okay, so Los Angeles is a beneficiary of Justice Corps, and it's a critical program for Los Angeles, but it is a program that you could decide by using our criteria, because it only benefits seven courts. It's a huge value to the courts and the branch, I think, but is it appropriate for IMF, or does it belong to the local court to benefit?
Well,
that's,
I make a motion. Well, I make
a, that is one of the things to talk about here. The impact is, you know, you do have to match or you lose the grant. And so the concern would be that at a statewide level, if courts said we won't match, that might be a problem for the branch.
$850,000 federal match.
And the amount that the IMF is paying is $347,000 among seven courts.
Okay, but yeah, I think one thing we have to keep in mind, and I will full disclosure, Alameda has a very robust program. But when you talk about seven courts, you really need to talk about the percentage of the people in the state of California that are benefiting. Because a lot of times seven courts are the seven biggest courts, and they cover like 95% of California. So you do have to think about what the impact really is. Because so many courts are so small that they don't, you know, probably at least they may benefit from two. And that isn't to say that you discount that, but you do have to consider who, when you say benefiting a court, it's the population they serve. And so I think we have to expand our view a little bit.
So, if we're going down our principles, no, it's not mandated. Number of courts is seven. It's positive for the courts. It's positive for the branch, right? If not where, it would be from the local court, right? But then we have the impact of losing.
Maybe. If the courts don't.
Yeah. Are there alternatives?
I think there's an interesting question on that, because in the survey, it has six courts responding. Four of those courts said, yes, they have an alternative service. Are those four of the courts that are using it or not?
We don't know.
That makes it difficult.
Lucy could tell us, because she has the survey results from all the courts.
Well, if I could just add, I just want to...
No, go ahead.
So let's look at what the number one priority is. Statewide, it's
cell phone centers. And that's where these people work. And as in full disclosure, we're the recipient of Justice Corps services. We have 8 to 10 people in our family courts who are self-represented. I don't know that, that's a universal statistic, but these people provide a tremendous level of service and access. And in terms of value, I don't know if that's value to the courts, crazy. For $347,000.
Did a lot of bang for your buck.
Enormous.
They're volunteers.
And, you know, one of the things that they say here, which I think is something to just keep in mind, it says, training lawyers for future public service diversity pipeline. There's a community benefit component to that, which exposes kids to the legal profession, and it improves access. So that's something that's a factor.
Judge Lee, Sean, Kim, and then Judge Johnson.
I realize it sounds like we're getting on. My court also has Justice Corps. As an adjunct to self-help, and we don't get enough. We don't have enough money to hire all the self-help staff. We went from 2 self-help centers down to 1. So without the Justice Corps members, we'd have to cut back again on services. So it's a service not only to the court, but something that's not up there, which is public perception of how they're treated and the access that they get. And when the people come into court as self-represented litigants, without the self-help center, it would cost a lot more in terms of judge time. And the perceptions by people who are self-represented litigants, they're swallowed by the courts without somebody from the self-help center helping them. So the public perception also.
I don't disagree with any of what you said, but there is an alternative approach, and that is to have the courts fund it. And that may be easier said than done, but the other fact is there's only a couple of courts that are getting this program.
50% of California is represented by really what we just talked about, which was my point earlier. A huge number of people in California, so it's maybe 5 courts, maybe 7 courts, but you're talking about 75% of the population and maybe litigants who are accessed have better access because there's Justice Corps in the court. So I think the number of courts is really deceptive as a factor. We really need to talk about service area, number of people, the population.
What about the courts that do not have that program?
We're talking about one program. So I think we'll be looking at all the other programs. That isn't to say everything has to be weighted in favor of courts that are large and cover a large population. But I think if you then say, well, if we don't all use this, then it's a lower priority than if we all use it. There may be other programs that are valuable but affect a very few people, and we may want to just think and talk about that. I mean, I think it's something to put on the table in any of
them. Did you finish your thought, Sean?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Kim.
Okay, so I don't have Justice Corps volunteers in my court, but I strongly support this program because self-help is one of the core missions of the branch, is to provide access and fairness, procedural fairness, all of the things that our self-help centers are designed to do. And despite the fact that, and this also meets one of my other sort of core guiding principles, which is don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Don't, if you're getting grant funding, you don't want to leave it to the whim of 5 or 6 or 7 courts that may or may not be able to come up with the cash and lose this valuable resource for, as I think Judge Smith mentioned, a really large percentage of the population, all in mostly urban areas, if you look at these 7 courts, that benefit greatly from these leveraged resources. So I would definitely vote in favor of funding this program for that reason.
Okay.
Believe in this, and I know that there is another element here that is so beneficial to the branch, and that is that we're creating ambassadors and potential attorneys and individuals that go through the pipeline. I've started programs like this, but I believe it is a individual court's priority and discretion, and there are some other mechanisms that you can tap into. It is a great benefit to the branch and to the people that we serve, and it definitely enhances access to justice. But should it be an IMS fund?
I do not believe that it should be, as much as I believe in this program. It does help a lot of people. It's great. But, again, it's not throughout. How about the rural counties that could use it and could benefit but don't have?
There's a dispute, perhaps, or perception in terms of, are we looking at programs to cut that tab as the criteria, fewest number of court users, or are we looking at programs where we're getting a huge amount of bang for our buck?
Well, so that's why we started with the criteria before we looked at programs, to try to make it less personal per county. That was why we tried to do that by creating principles first.
Because if we're looking at programs that are primarily used by a majority of counties, then we should just take the top of the list and all go home. I mean, what's the point of the discussion?
Judge Jones,
really?
Well, I think that the value of this program is really not debatable. It's wonderful. And I also think it's fairly clear that it's not properly an IMS-supported program. It seems to me that it ought to be a trial court trust fund-supported program, and that we ought to be looking for ways for more courts to participate in it. And so that would be my thought on it.
Judge Harmon.
Well, I'm in the same boat. I think this program is great. I think Justice Corps is great. I think AmeriCorps is great. I think all those programs are excellent. But while I understand these counties cover a huge number of people in the state, proportionately it's no different than my self-represented litigants in my county or your county. And how do you measure what more bang for the buck is? How does that wind up getting measured? And from my standpoint, you know, we constantly deal with self-help. We've basically got one person who gets a whole bunch of volunteers, and she gets them from the universities, and she gets them from those programs. And we are constantly battling, trying to support our self-help program. We don't have the benefit of Justice Corps. So that's where the number of counties is.
And I think that's probably why it fell where it did on the survey.
Right,
because there are so few courts that access it. Rebecca?
Well, I mentioned when we first started that I think you do have to take a look at the good as a whole, and I think Justice Court is most definitely one of the more positive things as a branch that we do. But I'm not sure if somebody said there were 5 courts or 7 courts, but at 7 courts, that's a $50,000 investment per court. I tend to agree with Jose. I don't think this is the location for it, but I definitely think that efforts should be made to continue the program, and it sounds like there's an interest in expanding it. But $50,000 for most of the larger courts, well, yes, it's one of those additional things that you have to factor in. It is a very small investment if you're getting that significant of a benefit from it through your self-help centers. I know, you know, with us, with some of the new initiatives coming on, like language access program and some of those things, you know, I would love something that I could add to my bag of tricks as far as my volunteers and those kind of things. And I think these kind of programs are going to be very critical in meeting those initiatives and getting us down that path of implementing some of those language access plans and those volunteers and those self-help centers and all those things. But I don't necessarily believe that this is the location that it should be funded from.
Sure. So one more thing. If you turn to page 175, I just want us to be aware of, because another one of our principles was no increase. If you read at the top of 175, last sentence, it says, with that in mind, comma, we plan to request a modest increase in funding this year to make it possible for more courts and self-represented litigants to benefit statewide. So I think that is the slippery slope, is that if we do think it's valuable, and it is, I mean, we're a big recipient, where will we say no? You know, I think that will be difficult, because if we say yes, this is, you know, something that is, that we have to support and we have to do, where would we say no to those courts?
Let me ask this, is there a middle way?
Is there a what?
Is there a what?
A middle way. It's like not an all or nothing.
Like a reduction.
A reduction.
Yeah, I was going to propose that. We talked about 20%, for example, just in our last item, is
20 to 25% reduction? Is that something that the courts that are using it now might be able to absorb? I'd throw that figure out. I mean,
yes.
That's just throwing out.
Some, right?
Some.
So if you look at the board and it showed, it reflected the number of courts that were the recipients of the service. All except for Los Angeles, I believe, are considered donor courts.
That's
donor courts, less resourced, less under-resourced. Right.
Yeah,
so
over-resourced, however you want to call it. Okay.
So, pardon me,
we're not either side.
Okay.
We're the Falcon.
So there is going to be an impact for everybody.
And I think that's really important.
But that's the action of, it's going to be the decision of this group to make a
recommendation.
Mm-hmm. So somebody's got to make a motion.
So
I'll make a motion that the Justice Corps funding be reduced by 20%.
Second. Motion and a second to reduce by 20%.
Is it still keeping it an IMF?
Self-help is
$47,000 for 7 courts.
Could we talk about the criteria? Because I mean, that's a legitimate now. We're talking about which pot does it go in. We've had a lot of discussion about that, but I don't want to derail the conversation, but if is there a criteria for saying we should move it from one into the other? Is it the amount of time? Is it the type of program? Because if you're talking about modernization and if you're talking about something that's been on the books a while, we started talking about things that are institutionalized versus things that are new. Well, what would constitute a new and or novel program that we might leave in versus one we might take out and reallocate to another place? And are we going to add up as we go along? So if we get to the magic $6 million, we don't have to look at any more programs, or do we look at all of them and then say, well, gee, we got to the top, we're now at $20 million, and maybe we can kind of come down a little bit and add a little bit more into some places where we've made a decision that because we're down at line 3, and it's, and we cut away, we're starting to chip away, we're starting to do our job, but I think there's some things that are kind of going like this.
I don't think you can look at some and not look at all. I think we've got to look at all of them.
I think there's a two-part process that we have to go through. We have to, once having identified by our criteria whether this particular program should be cut, then we have to also look at, is there enough value to the trial courts in general that it ought to be placed on some other fund, like the trial court trust fund or like the general fund. And that's got to be analyzed in each case, I think. And that's why I said earlier, I think it should be a trial court fund.
Well, I guess can I just clarify this? When I was talking about the IMF fund, I don't know whether that's really affected by the number of courts that are utilizing it versus the type of program that's intended to be in the fund, because I think you're going to have, they're always going to have varying degrees of use by courts depending on where they are geographically, the population, a whole lot of things. But what goes into IMF versus trial court trust fund? I don't know if because there's just a few courts or many courts that use it would define it, but what type of program was intended to be in the fund in the first place. But I don't know. I mean, I just think that's something. I'm confused at this point.
Kim, I have a bean counter question about this. So since this is a grant-funded program, and I assume the fiscal agent is probably judicial counsel staff for the money, or is it three? I see in the write-up that there are three courts that are the fiscal agents. So are they each applying for these funds? I mean, there's a certain amount of administrative burden. So if we start chipping off $60,000, $70,000, and then it becomes some big accounting, I mean, at some point we either have to say, when we're talking about such a small amount of money to make a 20% reduction in $347,000, it's sort of like you may have created an administrative burden that's going to more than eat up the savings that you get from the hard cost that you save on that program. So if we were going to make a decision to cut this program, I would recommend that we cut it at least in half. I'm not in favor of cutting it at all, but if we were going to cut it, I think to take these little tiny marginal amounts out of it when it's a grant-funded program, when somebody's got to be the fiscal agent, when you've got to, you know, apply for it and go through a lot of paperwork and a lot of red tape to get it, it seems like too much ado about not very much money.
All right. So what we have on the floor right now is a motion at 20% and a second.
I have a question because I do need to understand the, you know, the funding source. If this is a grant program, are these the courts that applied for the grant and they received the grant, or is the grant to the AOC and then they decided, oh, we'll pilot it out to these six or seven courts?
My recollection is it started in L.A., and maybe somebody can give the history, but it started in L.A. It is the grant match or part of the grant match for the grant, and then I think other courts, yes.
So the program hasn't on the phone if you want to explain.
Yeah, it. Sure.
Okay. Who is it?
Nicole.
Okay, Nicole.
She's definitely listening in.
The other.
Oh, this may be listen only.
Phones, aren't they?
No, they're listen only. Okay.
We have a participation.
Page 174 and 175 explains what has to be covered for the matching funds. Judge Earl, did you want to add something while we're waiting for her to call in?
Judge, I think I can add. I think there has been some interest in a few other courts to actually get into it. So the Chief Justice, who went to D.C. last year, met with the Department of Justice, talked to them about this one.
Hi, this is Nicole Claro Quinn. Sorry, we were on the listen-only line. Sorry about that, but we've been listening only.
Okay. Nicole, you want to talk now? Should you listen?
Then sure.
Any comments about this program that maybe you've had rolling around wanting to share?
Sure. I understand that the one of the main concerns that's being asked about is the grant application, the funding source, how it goes out to the courts. So just to clarify, one clarification that I noted at the beginning of the conversation was the Justice Corps members are volunteers, which I think was clarified. So it supplements the work in the self-help centers, not used to hire positions in the least. They are completely separate from any staffing in the self-help centers. The grant, the Judicial Council is the lead applicant on the grant, basically the fiscal agent. We apply to AmeriCorps, and the money comes directly to the Judicial Council, at which point it is then flowed out to the three lead courts. There are seven partner courts, but we have three regions. And so Superior Courts of Alameda, San Diego, and Los Angeles actually receive 95% of the grant that comes into the Judicial Council. That last little 5% is saved over for administrative costs that we are allowed to incur because we are the fiscal agent. We do all of the grant reporting, all of the grant administration, in order to use the economy of scale and not put that burden onto the courts. The courts operate the program. So the funds that they receive through the grant and through IMF constitute their operating budget to employ staff, recruit and oversee members, and make the program happen on the ground. It is true that it's seven courts. It is also true that those courts serve 45% of the population of California. And those are the things that we heard there might be some confusion about.
So what if 20 other courts wanted to get involved in it?
We can ask for an increased grant from AmeriCorps. We've floated different scenarios with them in the past on that. As the grant increases, the requirement for the matching funds does increase. And while the IMF represents a large portion of those matching funds, Each court does put a small percent, a percentage in. I don't want to say small because I don't want to diminish the contribution they make, but our ability to provide the IMF funds, which go directly to the courts, there are no IMF funds that are used at the Judicial Council level for this program, support the courts in the overall commitment we're required to make in terms of matching funds.
Okay.
And we've been in discussion with other courts from time to time, in fact, pretty recently, about what it takes to become involved in the program.
Judge Earl?
So, Nicole, this is Judge Earl. I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I note that in the materials that we have, you do discuss a 15% reduction, which starts on page 177, and a 25% reduction that starts on page 182.
Mm-hmm.
In those sections, you talk about how a reduction may jeopardize the grant. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. Each year we do a 3-year cycle for each grant, and right now we're in year 2 of our current 3-year cycle, which means we are required to do a continuation each year to say, may we have the funds for this year. And the amount of money that is committed to us in the award through the grant must be matched at 50% with other funds. So if we don't have enough money to make our match, it would potentially decrease the amount of a grant award that we could receive. And for that to happen mid-cycle especially would be difficult.
But could that money that's not paid by the IMF be paid by the individual participants?
That would be up to each individual court if they feel that their budgets can sustain that.
But it wouldn't necessarily jeopardize the grant if it were to be funded by that source?
If the match could be made up from court sources, that would not jeopardize the grant. But I can't really speak to whether the courts have those resources.
Right.
Do I understand you, though, to say that this was a 3-year grant, and the courts that are involved were told this is how much you'd get for 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have an amount that they're counting on. And as I said, it runs all of their operating expenses, including paying staff members in the court.
Nicole, does the grant term end in 2016?
We will recompete. We will submit a new competitive application in the fall of 2016. Wait, I'm sorry. I forgot what year we're in. In the fall of this year, we'll submit an application for funding that will begin 2016-17. Yeah.
So this is the last, and that
is a grant that we would have the potential to expand, include other courts, work on different scenarios there. Right now, we need.
All right. Any other questions of Nicole?
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay, thank you.
So we have a motion at 20%, a second at 20%. You referenced 50%.
Mine was not a motion. It was simply a comment.
Can I make a different motion or a counter motion?
Subsequent friendly amendment.
I
think you have to make a friendly amendment.
Yeah.
My motion would be that we continue funding this for next fiscal year and eliminate funding in 2016-17.
Can I clarify your motion? You mean tell those courts that want to participate that they have to pay the match.
In 2016-17.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So we end the 3-year cycle.
Exactly.
And then the following fiscal year.
Right. So any court who wants to join would then pay the match part.
Right.
Right.
And I just want to clarify, because that was going to be my friendly amendment to your friendly amendment, that in that new application period, that any court that was interested could be joined into that application process, assuming they were willing to take on that matching responsibility, therefore expanding it to any area that could support the program.
Good.
Judge Maricondo, it was your motion.
I'll accept that amendment.
Second accepts it as well?
Yes.
All right, so the motion now is it stays as is through the term of this grant. Next year, the courts will have to pick it up themselves, and if any court wishes to be included, they would have to do it on their own. Is that what the motion is at this stage? Any further discussion on that motion?
I do have a clarification question. Does our authority extend to that time period as far as eliminating funding of 16-17? Is that okay?
These are all
years.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a recommendation.
Yeah, just go to trial court budget.
So,
Judge Earle.
So essentially there is no further funding for this after 1560.
Correct.
Well, and that's why I keep clarifying that, because there would be no grant match, but they're administering the grant application piece, right? So, and they're using general funds because they're doing it with judicial counsel staff.
But it's not coming from the IMF.
No,
right.
So I just want
to... further IMF funds.
Right, right.
So one-time funding is what your recommendation is, one-time 1560.
For IMF, for grant match.
Right. Uh-huh. All right, any further discussion? All in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition?
No.
Okay. So all except for one, David, it passes. And I don't know who's our note taker over there. You got what the motion was? And okay, great.
Okay. Going back to our list, we have. So you're right, I'm looking between two different lists. On one we have the, well, we'll go to the complex civil litigation, I guess, because that's the next big one up.
And what is the complex civil is what item on
Let's
the,
see.
On page 108? Thank you.
What on the summary?
41.
41? Oh, 41, yeah. And what was the page on the description? I don't see it on 41. I don't.
He said line item.
Oh, it's 41. 61, got it on.
What?
60 of 72 is the survey.
61 of
72. Yep. Not 61, it's
the description.
I don't have it in 61.
No.
Thank you. Oh, 61 of 72, I don't do it that way. Yeah, okay.
And it's 186 of the
Okay, everybody's queued up on it.
And what page on the program description, Stephen?
186.
All right. Is it mandated?
No.
No.
Number of courts?
Six.
Six large courts.
Yeah.
Service level, value to the
courts,
value to the branch as a whole. Is there a value to the branch?
I
yeah, I would
say yes.
Yeah. What's the value to the branch as a whole?
Collectively, the complex civil filing fee has been raised, and with the support of the bar and the. The desire, I think, was to try to maintain certain aspects of the complex civil lit programs in conjunction with the increased fees. So that there is a substantial amount that the branch receives.
Okay. I actually have a handout that talks a little bit about what David is talking about. There isn't a way to track filings because it's not on GPSIS, but because the filing fee by the plaintiff is $1,000, you can use the amount, the finance, I asked Stephen to give this to me, the amount each court collected, and then, of course, divided it by 1,000 to give us how many were filed in each court for 13-14, which is the full year. So just to highlight what David said, and I made copies, 26,289,370 were taken in the entire program, including the plaintiff and the defendant filing fees. And so I'll pass this out because I thought that might be something you want to consider if we talk about alternatives. So here you go.
Thank you.
So what you're saying is there's $26 million in fees collected, to David's point.
Right. $26 million, over $26 million, yeah.
Good. So is it appropriate for the IMF?
Is that the question? I would say no.
Any other thoughts about that?
Are you ready to start the conversation on that?
Technically speaking, yeah. Any handouts that we provide during the meeting, we'll also post as part of our meeting material.
These are draft working documents that I'll collect at the end of today's meeting. They're not
stipulated by the posting.
They're draft working documents because they haven't been validated. They've just been done by.
Generally, if we have handouts that would otherwise have been part of meeting materials.
Yep.
Kim. So I'll be happy to start the conversation because it's a conversation I've been having for a number of years from the last time I was on this committee about 4 or 5 years ago. The Complex Civil Lit program is an important program. I believe that. However, it was started as a pilot program. It was started based on having no data, just an anecdotal perception of which courts had the most of these fees and which or had the most of these kinds of filings. And it actually turns out that the courts that are getting the money are only 4 of the 6 are, in fact, the courts that have the greatest number of filings. So it started as a pilot when times were good back in 2006-07. I think it is ripe for discussion now. It's $4 million. $4 million that go to six courts only. Sherry is absolutely right that there were $26 million in filings in filing fees attributed to Complex Civil Lit, but they happened in I think 52 or 53 of the 58 trial courts, yet only 6 courts benefit from this program. So there are a couple of notable courts, Riverside and San Diego, that get no money for this program, even though they're in the top 6, you know, in terms of number of filings. Santa Clara and Contra Costa get money from this program, yet they're not in the top 6. So a few years ago when we started this discussion, we wanted, at that time, I asked that if this was in fact a pilot, somebody should have studied it and given us a report at the end, and it should bear out all of the things that we think are true, that it's valuable and what have you, but it should also not be on autopilot, and I think that's where we are. We have a pilot on autopilot, and it's time to get the pilot off of autopilot and look at it in the bright light of day and say $4 million right now is just too rich for our blood.
I have something just to throw out for you to consider. I'm trying to throw out ideas. So I was in Riverside before I became CEO of LA, and as you can see, Riverside was high in filings, and I felt that somehow those courts that have these cases should be acknowledged, and how best to do that has always been the question, because I can tell you that with complex cases, for those of us who have a lot of them, we had a lot in Riverside, we have 7 courts, could easily have 8 or 9 courts in LA. They are more labor intensive, they are more expensive, you do have more research attorney and clerk support, you do have a lot more expenses tied into these cases. But I agree with what we've said here in terms of our principles, but when we get here, if not IMF where, I have a suggestion for you to consider. In RAS, which is the workload measurement for the trial court, asbestos cases are these many minutes. Asbestos is one type of complex civil. For unlimited civil, it is this many minutes. What I would propose as an idea is that we convert the difference is this many minutes. And my proposal would be that if we agree that it's valuable to the branch with the $26 million, and that if we agree that it's a benefit, because, you know, LA takes a lot of complex from other counties as well to help them, the one solution would be to give those cases that are filed with the complex filing fee this credit and not this credit, and to recommend to the RAS working group to do a measurement. And once they've done the measurement, this number may be somewhere between, it might be higher.
But there is no measurement for complex civil, and I would propose this is not enough credit for complex cases because asbestos is just one type of complex credit. And so that would be my proposal, is that when we talk about if not where, I would say throw it by giving these cases to all counties who have them the asbestos credit for anything that has a plaintiff's civil filing fee. So that would be something to consider.
So that it gets credit in
WAFA. Because it's an expensive program, just like V3. We've got lots of money for seven courts, and so it would at least recognize those courts that have the filings, and it would help, you know, make sure that we recognize that complex cases are significantly more difficult to manage than a regular unlimited civil. So that would be my suggestion.
Judge Earl?
Mr. Chair, you agree that for the working group that updates RAS, it will take them some time to be able to study this? You know,
which is why I would say that if the proposal for you all is to cut the $4 million next year, you wouldn't really hear a squeak from me as long as you recognize that these complex cases should be weighted at least what asbestos is. And so if we said give them that weight next year, then...
That's what my concern is, that I don't know that the working group, RAS working group, can do that in a year. They've always said when they...
I said until they measure it.
You're doing math first.
Yeah.
And analysis second.
Right.
So the number of cases that they have
right.
from their RAS calculation.
Right. And feed
and
them
add
in.
Back in
right.
the numbers that are here,
yeah.
the higher minutes, to then add a little bit to everybody's for the
recognizing the... Right.
This is a proxy calculation.
Exactly. Because they've already measured asbestos, and they are one type of complex. So do that until the RAS working group measures them. If they measure them in a year, and it's higher and lower, fine. If it's 3 years, fine. At least there's some recognition of these more expensive, more difficult cases to manage.
But that just, I mean, aren't we really talking about moving it out of the IMF fund and putting it in the trial
yes.
court
yes.
trust fund? So, I mean, I'm looking at this. There's no program description to this, and I have no idea why, you know, five counties or six counties get whatever they get for it. I understand the caseload, and I agree that in the WAFM and RAS, they need to be rated higher so that counties like Los Angeles and Alameda that have these should be getting more out of their general fund.
Right.
They can choose then how to spend it. But is this complex civil litigation program a necessary program within IMF? I mean, do we need to designate it that way, or should it just become a measurement of caseload in the trial court?
That's exactly what I'm proposing. Yeah, I'm saying if we agree it's not appropriate for IMF, which I'm not necessarily disagreeing, I'm just saying you need to recognize it's an expensive, difficult program to manage, and this is a way to do it.
And then what that results in is those counties that get that filing fee money but don't get any complex civil litigation money, it would allow them to get money if they actually have those filings
right.
on the case. Did you have something, David?
Yeah, I just want to make a couple points. Number one, the I can't remember the number, four or five different courts that receive complex civil fees or out of this program. They actually have been participants for a number of years, Santa Clara being one of them. And as a recipient of the money, I think all of the courts have had to establish a designated complex civil list department. And not only creating them, but also establishing different rules in terms of how those cases are to be processed. And so I don't know that distributing the money any differently would require any of the courts to even establish a department or follow any of the different rules. So I think it puts into focus whether there is going to be a lot of support to pay this higher amount, perhaps, if there is not going to be anything that may necessitate that higher fee. So that's one of the issues. And the other part of it is I recall, one of the reasons behind increasing the fees also was to cover a shortage in funding in the TCTF, which I don't know if we would change the funding model, would then really create an issue with respect to how WAPO is established. So I'm going to rely on those who were involved before me when the TCTF was given this allowance, which increased the deficiency in funding. So I don't know if anybody can speak to that.
So I saw another hand, and I wonder if it was you, Jose, or was it you, Ken?
It was me, but I don't want to interrupt the discussion, but I was ready to make a motion that we discontinue the $4 million from IMF. It created a proxy number of the investors as an interim until the Roth model or WAFM, whatever that committee is, reviews and assess what the number should be assessed. And therefore provide a greater amount of minutes to the complex litigation. That the $4 million will stop for the upcoming year.
Judge Earl?
I just had a question. Sherry, have you had any discussions with the chair of that? I want to call it the resident.
It's WAC.
It's Workload Assessment Advisory Committee. No. Laura Alfney is the chair. Or with the staff?
I haven't.
Leah Rose Goodwin.
I haven't. And if they choose never to review it, I guess that's their option because we found a way to at least recognize that these are expensive, difficult cases to manage and process by giving them weight that asbestos is receiving. So I did not.
So one of the things that I is Leah available?
She's not.
Okay. One of the things that I wonder. So do they currently count in the rest?
No, that's what this number is here. This is what unlimited civil is. This is asbestos.
So how are they going to distinguish when a case is filed that it's a complex case, how are they going to distinguish to know that this gets credit as an
the filing fee?
So what you do is you take the filing fee divided by 1,000 to get the number of filings.
Right.
You deduct that number times the 797, take that out.
Right.
And then replace it with that same number of cases times the 3,500.
Right.
I can maybe shed a little bit of light, and I did have a conversation with Leah about this not too long ago. So right now, the Workload Assessment at Advisory Committee does not count complex civil lit, as Sherry noted. No mechanism exists to count it at the moment.
It's a unique
case type. It's a unique case type. They have carved out asbestos as a unique case type, so they're able to count every one of those filings. I think over time, I think that the method that Sherry's proposing is a good method as to act as, you say, as a proxy until some study comes forward. But I think over time, courts would have, we would create a new GIPSIS data element, and courts would start to, you know, show those filings in that data element, and then we would get the data that way rather than, you know, using filing fee money to do that analysis. So what I like about this idea is that it spreads the higher weighting factor to all the courts that have complex civil litigation cases because while many of them are heard in these six courts, as we can see from this list, many are not, and many are heard in the trial court in which they are filed. And so in my little court, for example, and for any court that's not a member of that group of six courts, there would be a few more dollars left.
Judge Johnson.
But for the courts that are providing the service to those courts that don't handle their own complex cases, there's an attendant cost. So it seems like there ought to be some way of reimbursing for those that are using that service. Like if we haven't had we've hardly had any civil cases filed in Trinity County and certainly not any complex cases, but if one came through our door, I'd call up Santa Clara and say, we've got this, can we buy some service from you? Would it just be like a user fee, or would we have to turn over our proxy allocation to you? How is that going to work?
I think it depends. So if the filing came through your front door and you captured the filing in your GIPSIS system, then unless you formally changed the venue to Santa Clara or one of these other courts, I think we would have to work through that discussion for really small courts that aren't going to keep these cases, that are going to move them to a court that's prepared to handle them. In most cases, medium-sized courts are handling their own.
So a question that I have, which kind of circles back to David's point, I mean, I really don't want to talk about home, but we all seem to be talking about home. San Bernardino raises a lot of money on this, and we don't get any of it. But if we did work it through Waltham, and then we come back to David's point, which is when that pilot program was started, it envisioned certain requirements for that court. I couldn't do it because we have too many civil cases. I would need three or four courts, and there wouldn't be enough money to have three or four courts because I don't have enough judges to do it. So where do we fit David's dilemma in, given that there was this pilot project with specific procedures and processes? Is that still alive or not? Or
exchange with the state bar.
I don't think that we should make that a requirement. Because I think that, like in Riverside, whose number whatever, they just developed a complex civil department because they have so many, but they haven't signed an MOU to get funding because they're not entitled to funding.
Okay. And I assume your court is doing these cases somehow right now.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
I mean,
oh, yeah, they're spread out amongst all of our judges.
515 of them last year, so they went to various departments.
Right. Jose.
It's the same justification or argument for the pilot program are the same that say that is part of your case flow management, your differentiated case management that makes you want to assign something like that. Whatever system you have, you're already gaining that efficiency.
Judge Harmon.
Well, and you're already handling those cases, so you're just reallocating. You as an individual court decide how you want to allocate that. I mean, I look at ours. We've got an average of four per civil judge. So four a year per civil judge, we have to figure out how to allow them the time to do this, give the special attention to those cases. We have to do that as an individual court, whereas a larger court maybe can designate certain departments.
Right. And I guess that was my only point. If it requires you to designate a specific mm-hmm. department just for that, I can't do it. But if we can continue on as we are, which is we spread it out, then I think it makes more sense.
I'd like to second Jose's motion.
Okay, so we have Jose's motion and a second. Further discussion, Judge Lee.
I think the requirement from the Judicial Council when the money was given, some 10 years ago at least,
mm-hmm.
Well, 15 was that designated conflict list form to be set up with specific staff because it had its own case management. It's not part of our regular civil case management.
Right.
Totally separate animal. It was also used, I mean, those were the requirements. So I'm assuming that the funding is not from the council, that you can do whatever you want.
You could, but I think it would risk the $26 million. Because I think for the courts that have the highest filings, Los Angeles and Alameda and San Francisco and others, those attorneys will expect a complex court or they're not going to pay the $26 million. And that would be the you know, financial leverage. So I think by doing it this way, as long as we had funding that came back, we would keep our complex courts in L.A., and I'm sure you would too.
Absolutely.
Yep. So this would accomplish that.
So there's a motion.
Can I just clarify? What is the motion?
The motion would be that the IMF fund will discontinue the $4 million funding for the complex. And in the interim, we will use the proxy of 3546 as minutes for complex filing. And request that the WAC
Workload Assessment Advisory Committee
assesses the accuracy of that proxy at whatever cycle.
And potentially creates a new GIPSIS data element, right?
Correct.
Here's that scrolled under
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be unique because cases aren't filed as complex. They get designated at some point in the process.
Right.
So there'd have to be a way to capture that.
Mm-hmm. Just,
right.
Your normal
reporting.
If they're not filed as complex and they're designated, they have to pay the $1,000. So,
right.
See, you would capture
it. Get it.
Yeah.
Right. Once it's paid, then it's captured.
Right.
All right.
I think Judge Johnson seconded it.
Judge Johnson, you seconded the motion. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
No.
No.
Two no's. The rest were ayes.
Where are we on the money now, Stephen?
Like Jerry Lewis was fighting, right?
5.4 million, 3.6.
Do we stop when we get to 6?
No, we have an 11 point.
I'm sorry, do we start when we get to stop when we get to 11?
I think 5.36.
I think.
I agree.
It doesn't
care
exactly the way.
So where are we, Stephen?
So we've reduced 5.382 right now is the total recommended production. And as relates to what's still needed, if we're trying to get to a zero deficit, we still need 10.5.
No. No.
Confuse them with deficits about fund balance.
Okay.
We want to talk about net fund balance for the year.
Okay, so net fund balance then still needs 5.9.
Okay.
There's no change.
No. Okay, so the next one, moving up from the bottom, is data integration, but I'm going to propose another thought, and that is that the Transfer Budget Advisory Committee proposed to the council a $1,042,000 reduction in IT costs from IMF next year. And so I'm not sure that, I don't know how we would cut anything else from that because we had a committee of CIOs kind of work at that. And I'm just not sure that there are other things that could be cut because they did such a detailed review. And they had a short, medium, and long-term reduction to the budget. So I don't know how you feel, Judge Slough, but I just am not sure that we could do, I don't think we could do any better. We couldn't approve upon what the CIOs have already proposed and the council's approved.
I don't think we can, but if you know what that number is, I think we should.
It's $1,042,000.
Is that already included? Is that already included in the, is that already considered in these materials, assumed?
Well,
no,
yeah,
it's a combination.
What they proposed was a higher estimated allocation that we can reduce. So it was a basically their proposed reduction, which gets them to basically the 14-15 allocation.
Oh.
So it was really a net reduction.
Oh. Oh.
Not helpful.
So they're.
They did a lot of work.
Proposal to stay where they are.
Here's technology and error.
Not the money,
but I don't know. It's such a big
These were the estimated allocations that they provided for 56 million instead of 34.9.
What?
And then what they reduced were what you see on line 5 by 100,000, line 6 by 332,000, and then the interior management, which is line 8 by 600,000.
What line 5, interim case management?
$100,000
for, which we've now taken care of already. We've done the line 5 higher than that.
But effectively, we're not, you aren't considering the actual higher level of requested allocations.
Right.
You're looking from their 14-15 approved allocations, which is what is in the totals at this point. So it would be important for the program to understand that in your consideration, your recommended like allocation levels, they are not what the right-hand column would be, but an expectation that they are managing the programs within the 14-15 level or lower if some other alternative is developed.
That's correct.
I want to make it, because I want the program to hear that, because I don't, you know, unless we want to debate the differences between, you know, why some are higher or lower, relatively speaking.
Yeah, that's our value.
No increases. I want to state that so that the program hears that that is what is understood to be your operating premise. CLE.
No increases.
So with that stated, where are we with it, Sherry?
I think if our principal is no increase, we one of the things we could say is that this program needs to stay at existing level.
Or below.
Judge Harmon.
Well, I think this one does belong in IMF, and I do think it probably needs to stay at the existing level. This is one that, you know, we've got all kinds of different counties going on, different case management systems. We've got 25 counties now going on the Tyler system that's trying to do an integrated solution for all the counties. I think this is not one that we – this is exactly what IMF is about, trying to improve the system for everybody. And I think every county benefits from this in some way. And even those that maybe don't right now will as they have to change over their case management system. So this just seems to be where it belongs with – really an inability to find, in my opinion, an inability to find a way to cut this.
So can you go back to the other one that you showed? So their approved allocation this year is less than what they're estimating for next year.
Right.
So if one of our principals is no increase, maybe that's the first thing we do? And have them figure out how they're going to operate? Or are you saying that you feel that they should get an increase?
No, I think you leave it with the estimated allocation, I think, seems appropriate right now. This is exactly what this fund is for.
And the 3.903 is what's in our current expenditure estimate.
Which one?
The 3903, right, Colm?
Right there.
Yeah, so presumably if there's a lower amount that they're saying is needed for 15-16, that $50,000 is what is there.
Yeah. I'll take it. They're offering it.
Some of them.
Yeah.
So you're saying what's allocated right now is the 3.9,
and
they're saying we can really do it at 3.8.
I mean, I'll just say on behalf of the program is that what you'll be doing is you're going to take anything that's lower and then hold them at the prior level for the current year.
Ratchet.
And that, you know, may create some issues with their plans, but I'm just sort of pointing it out for you.
Can you go back to the other spreadsheet again? Just for clarification then, is the estimated allocation of the $36 million what's also included in our document?
$34 million.
Okay. So, okay.
Plus B3.
Uh-huh.
So, did we have a motion?
I moved that.
What is it? What's your actual motion?
To hold it to the estimated level.
So there's a motion to hold it to the estimated level, no increases.
It's the estimated level 3.9 or 3.8.
And take the where it's lower, which was
the 3.8.
3.8.
No increases. Keep it at the 3.8, the lower number, and David seconds. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Does that give us any real dollars?
$50,000.
$150,000.
Is that
only for data
integration, or are we doing this for
everything?
That's
the whole thing. Then go back, because I'm not sure I agreed to the whole thing. I would wonder... Yeah.
Only data integration.
Yeah, Justice Partner Outreach, it was ranked pretty low, too, so I'm wondering if we should just take one at a time, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was
still
just
no
data
increase.
Integration?
No increases, but we might want to eliminate.
We may want to reduce some of these.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So we voted on that one.
So moving on. ADR.
So what do we do?
Okay, hang on just a second.
I thought we were just voting on data integration.
That's why they kept saying 34.
Judge Harmon, what did you think we were voting on?
Data integration, 53,000. The 3.9 to 3.8.
Yeah, and it was Judge Johnson who made the motion.
Oh, Judge Johnson, I'm sorry. What did you think we were voting on?
I was talking about that at integration.
Okay.
All right.
So the next item is alternative dispute resolution. And let's see. What is it, Stephen? 40.
What page is it for this?
It's 95 and 187.
So did they only have it in their plan as part of their 25%? 186 also has, no? It's not part of their 50%.
This only comes as part of their 25% plan
What staff have developed as far as the different alternatives. So they would have nothing as part of their 15%, but when they got to the 25%, then the description is to reduce the entire allocation.
Right.
If they were looking for that kind of.
So it's
so moved.
To eliminate?
Yeah. Second.
Yep.
Further discussion? All in favor of eliminating it?
Aye.
Any objection? Gone.
Okay, I'm falling behind. It is Clex.
Testing tool.
Clex services / integration.
When you say 77, are you saying, okay, 77. Got it.
What page is it?
It's based on this program description.
In the survey, it's what?
77.
77, thank you.
And the material, 77.
Okay. But where are we on the program?
What's this page, 129, it looks like?
7.
129.
I think it's 126.
It's 126, yeah.
Yeah, 125, 126. Yeah, 129, Sean?
129.
Also 129. It's 125.
125.
Yeah. Oh, because they have their different reductions. Got it.
Right.
Yep, got it. Okay.
All right, who wants to lead off on CLET?
You know, yeah, because
no takers, so let's start with, is it mandated?
I'd like to ask a question.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
I guess I'm not understanding this because I know, don't all courts use CLET?
No.
Sure. Okay, so I know Sacramento does, but I don't see it as being impacted by it, so maybe I don't understand how we use it differently. Or what we use might be different.
Are you using the CCPOR, perhaps?
We use both. Perhaps you're accessing through your sheriff?
Yeah.
Comes from through the sheriff.
Comes through the sheriff. I think we do the DA and the sheriff.
Directly, and some are accessing it through their sheriff.
I get it. That's what we're doing.
But the ones that are accessing directly, I think, are the ones that are included in this dollar amount.
So is that just an agreement these courts have with their local sheriff's department, or is that require some cost to be able to implement that through your sheriff's department?
You know, Lori, I think it's agreement, but I know that with our integrating our new Odyssey system, we're negotiating the access with our DA and sheriff now. So I think that will be probably more the model going forward than directly accessing. I know that at my recollection is it's you need it because there's certain reporting requirements to DOJ that requires that you have the information for
yeah.
class. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure everybody needs to have some access to that, at least the information, however you get that information. But I know that there's some information in CLETS that you need, I think you need, in order to report to DOJ. No?
That's right.
Okay.
Not how we do it in my county.
That was my understanding. I may be wrong.
I mean, you have to have the information.
We have CCPOR in my county, but we don't, but the sheriff did not implement the integration with CLETS. So they still, we do our CCPOR thing, we hand them the paper, they put it in CLETS, it's crazy. But that's Marin, you know. So I think what's interesting about this is that some courts, you know, historically, I guess, have decided to do their own CLETS inquiries and, you know, go out to the database on their own. The question is it really appropriate for IMF to pay for that cost? And I guess I'll be the first one to say that I don't think so. I think that there are lots of ways to interface with CLETS, and the fact that these seven or eight courts chose to do it this way, it's not really an IMF expense. It's a local court decision.
What's your motion?
My motion is to eliminate the however many dollars, $433,400 from the IMF fund, and to shift those costs back to the court, at which point I guess they can make a decision as to whether or not they want to continue to access CLETS in the way that they're doing it today.
Second.
Any further discussion? The motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposition?
Motion carries.
So Bucko reminded me of one other thing. In reviewing the materials, I found that there was also a large amount that Judicial Council staff suggested be eliminated that would help us, so we should add it now, and it was $1,231,000 in workers' comp. Is that the amount? Yeah. So we should probably – where did he go?
I moved that.
Yeah, okay. That's a big
deal.
Do you know where we are in the total?
Yeah, that's why I
said. Yeah, it's right there. Colin, can you show the totals, please?
Sure, just right down the middle. Really
that was the tail. That was the tail money we were holding just in case,
yeah.
Right, Stephen?
Right.
Yeah, so I would recommend that we just eliminate it because Judicial Council staff recommended it. It helps us get down. That way we're not slashing more down farther. Okay.
Does that mean we're eliminating it? For
period.
All years.
Not just this year. It's a tail. It's
right.
For any counties that needed to come in, and we think that we've waited long enough. So it's $1,231,000.
It's number 24 on the. Okay, and 35 on our.
35 on the sorted by.
Serving list.
Right.
Yeah. 20. Uh huh.
I move.
We need a motion.
We need a second. Stephen moved.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Pass.
Okay, so where are we now?
still need 4.1 million.
All right, keep going. Keep those knives sharp.
Okay, and as Lucy pointed out, because I've been using surveys, there were some on the one survey that did not line up exactly. Most of them did, but there were testing tools, enterprise test management, and Justice Partner Outreach and e-service. Those were both low on benefit provided to judicial branch. Do you want to take those, or do you want me to just keep working up the number of courts with direct benefit?
It happens to be next on number of courts.
Okay,
with direct
well, there you go. So let's get there. Okay, so testing tools. To the table that shows the comparison on where this one was. I just don't feel like I have that.
Testing tools.
Like those.
So they think it will go down slightly from what it was this year.
Stephen. So is there anyone from IT or from the IS division on the line that could, I mean, I don't really understand what value we're getting for this.
Yeah, Stephen?
I just want to point out, though, that the staff at the 15% level would eliminate this.
Am I correct in the way I interpret the staff recommendation that they're not recommending any reductions for this?
So you zero it out if I'm reading this right.
I think their point is that if you take any away, they can't do it. That's their point. If you read their materials, but we should ask them that.
So they provide it. Yeah, so they provide for each of the reductions. They provide two options. So for the 50% reduction center, they say either take a $4,600 reduction or take a whole thing.
Where is that in our material?
Ask them for it. Somebody, table one. Ask them for it. Table one. It's lines.
4A.
Yeah. And if you go to column I and K, we take a 50% reduction there. One B is completely eliminated. 1A is reduced by about 4,400. Actually, it takes 25% reduction, it's not the same. It's both in there. It's an error.
It'd be nice to know what the risk is from reducing it, from getting rid of it. I mean,
we want them to answer that.
Yeah. The short description of testing tools is provides a suite of software quality assurance tools, staff, and testing expertise for CCPOR, V2, and V3. So my question is, of those three systems, CCPOR is the only one that the branch has sort of made a long-term commitment to. So I'm wondering if there's a way to parse $6,000 and say we just want to have a suite of tools that can be used to, you know, improve quality and whatever of CCPOR, that the other two systems, you know, V2 is, you know, kind of moot. So V3, it just needs to be sort of on, you know, maintenance mode at this point. Anyway, we don't really need to do any new software development, so therefore, hopefully, testing. for that system.
We have staff that understand it on the line to hopefully.
Okay, who's on the line that can answer that for us, please?
Judge Flau, it's Mark Dustman. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So the question, it's very difficult to follow the conversation on the phone, particularly on what you're actually looking at, but I think the question from Kim was, since part of this, the automated testing tools program supports B2 and B3, is there a way to portion out the part that supports programs that aren't going to be sunset? And the answer is not really. Most of the cost here is associated with keeping that testing tool suite alive. And, you know, there's a kind of a set cost per year for that maintenance and operation. And it really is not very much influenced by the number of systems it supports. The other component that I didn't hear mentioned is that the testing tool does also support the integrated services backbone changes, and that was the data integration program that you just approved recommending moving forward at a very small reduction. So that this particular tool, in addition to benefiting the courts, and which is why it's probably low down this list, is that for the courts that need to test releases from those applications that this supports, this automates that process. So instead of having 10 or 15 people banging away at test scripts for hours for every new release in the courts to do their user acceptance testing, this automates that process. So it saves court time there. The bigger impact, frankly, is from a quality perspective on the Judicial Council side. So Kim mentioned that B3 is in maintenance mode, which is correct, but each quarter a new release of V3 goes out with bug fixes and with any legislative updates or small enhancements that the courts need in the V3 realm. And those releases are tested using this tool internally here at the JC first before being released to the data center or to the courts that host it themselves. And then the courts that use V3 go through this testing, their user acceptance testing, largely by using this tool.
So, Mark, this is Kim again. Thank you for helping us understand this. My question, pulling off of B3 for a moment, CCPOR, you know, I'm one of the courts that's on it, and I've been fairly close to the product. It seems to be a fairly stable product, and I don't recall seeing very many new releases in the CCPOR world in recent years. I mean, I think we were the first court to go up on it, and it's been 6 or 7 or 8 years now, and there were a number of changes in the early years, but I don't recall seeing anything in the last several years. So is my recollection about that correct, that CCPOR is pretty stable now and there haven't been any new developments, new software patches or what have you?
There are general upgrades, Kim, but you're right. There's not a whole lot of change to functionality. So the courts aren't seeing a lot of the testing that would need to go on with this product.
And I guess the big question for me is, what's the risk if we don't fund this, Mark? I mean, if you know, B3 courts, if they're asking for small enhancements, if there are minor legislative changes and minor bug fixes. I mean, a lot of our courts have those particular issues with our own case management systems, but don't have sufficient resources right now to do a lot of testing, except the good old-fashioned way, user acceptance testing using test scripts that we develop internally. So, is there a way to, you know, pull off of this program, and if a major legislative initiative came in and it needs, you know, we need to make many changes, we could activate the suite of tools again, or relicense them, or are there any other options other than fund it or don't fund it?
It's pretty much funded or don't fund it. This is a relatively small program. I think your point on risk is a good one. You know, a huge amount of work went into making sure V3, and still does to this day because of the spotlight that it was in, that when it goes out, any of those releases go out to the V3 courts on a quarterly basis, that they're essentially perfect. And so this is how we do that. And so the biggest risk is going to be to the V3 courts and to the exchanges that are developed in the integration services backbone. It is, as I think maybe Steve Nash pointed out, it is one of the options that we put down for the 15 and 25% reduction. It is not something that we are recommending. We were asked to come up with the 15 and 25%. And it was not one of the items that the CIOs recommended in the $1 million that they wanted to, that they have suggested and the council has approved reducing in the short term.
David, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, I wanted to make a motion, and I certainly understand the necessity of having this particular program. And I know, Mark, if you've been listening to some of the discussion that we've had, every decision that's been made has been extremely painful. In view of some of the difficult decisions that we've made, I wanted to make a motion to, at least for 1 year, not fund it at that amount, and then perhaps revisit it next year to see how things go. If something actually crashes and burns, I'm happy to be the whipping boy on that one. But I think this is one of those multiple decisions that are not comfortable, but that's my motion.
With that on the table, whipping David, I will second that.
I'll third it.
Yeah, I wanted that.
Oh boy, everybody wants a piece of day.
I'm sorry, was the motion a specific amount or was
eliminated.
It
eliminated?
No, eliminated
no.
For 1 year.
For
1 year.
Yeah, better way to put it.
Further discussion? Well, was there a second?
Yeah, there was.
Oh yeah.
So I just have a question of
yep.
Mark. So Mark, if we suspend it for a year, that means we stop paying the licensing fees, I guess, on the software. And then, is there additional cost to relicense it if we decide that we need it again a year from now, or do we just go back to $624,000 again?
No, it would be considerably more if we decided to reinstate the following year. We don't know how much. Because we need to repurchase the licenses.
It could be technically less, though, if we did a new RFP or did a new, right? I mean, there's the market may bear out where we could get it on a federal government contract or a different government contract. We don't know that.
Well, we're using a discounted program at the state, Sherry, and typically maintenance fees are 18 to 22% of the cost of the licenses. So I can almost guarantee you that this will go up about 80% for that first year.
80%
in March?
Yes, maintenance costs are typically 18 to 22% is the industry standard for maintenance cost, and that is 18 to 22% of the cost of the licenses. So these licenses cost much more than that when the investment was originally made, more than the $600,000.
Mark, does the tech center have the tools that we might be able to leverage under the tech center contract?
This tool, Jose, is that Jose?
Yes.
Yeah, Jose, yes, this is actually hosted at the tech center. The tech center provides the infrastructure, but the branch provides all the software. So this is a software tool.
So with that, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any objection? The motion carries.
Before Mark leaves, the next thing that we have is the Justice Partner Outreach and e-services, and so I thought if there were any questions, we might want to keep them there. It was rated pretty low on the surveys, particularly benefit provided to judicial branch. It was rated 44 out of 49 in terms of 49 being the lowest. So I just wanted to, in case anybody had any questions.
Any question of Mark while he's on the phone on that?
What line is that, Stephen?
29.
Where's the description for it? It's on page 133.
Okay, so I see if you go to page 130, in 15-16, program would defer $229,644. Let me see. Keep going. That's not it. Oh, it would defer the hiring of a consultant.
Just to know what Colin was saying, that's the number, the reduction number, any reduction number is off the 15-16 level. We're actually proposing an increase to the 14-15 level. We're going to have it for a $12,000 increase.
So did you hear that, those of you that were? Go ahead and say that again, Stephen.
So compared to the 14-15 level,
so what is the increase, what does that cover? What's it, why an increase?
We have Mark still on the line.
Yes, so this is Mark. Hard to hear the conversation again, but I think the increase from, and so this is, I think one of the difficulties for me is that we are one of the few groups that do a five-year budget, and as you all know, and I've talked to many of you before, our programs have cycles. This one did go up for our 15-16, and it was to support a contractor around data exchanges, mostly the work that Mr. Yamasaki is engaged in now with a work stream as part of CTAC. So, you know, one alternative that we provided is eliminating that contractor, eliminating it from the 15-16 allocation. It just would mean that there would be essentially no support from a central organization to move anything that comes out of that work stream forward.
So I'm not sure that – I think maybe we were talking about an increase of like 12,000 something. Stephen, what was that?
13,000.
So can I go back to the beginning? You're suggesting, Mark, to defer the whole hiring of the consultant, right?
Sherry, that was one of the alternatives that we provided, yes, the 229,644.
So I'm going to ask David, since he leads that work stream, we have really excellent CIOs. Is this something that rather than hiring a consultant, that if your court worked with my court, which worked with Alameda and San Francisco, you know, could we have the CIOs help do some of this work to not hire the consultant at all?
Yeah, and I think that's a very good question, Sherry. In the formation of the data exchange work stream, we brought on board, onto the subcommittee, CIOs from courts that have retained or established a contract with vendors from the four major case management system vendors in California. So we have a very, very broad spectrum of not only knowledge, but also challenges to make sure that we can come up with something that fits within each of those program. So I have tremendous confidence in the CIOs that we have, and I'm hoping that we can tap into that resource to help us manage this particular piece, because they're very knowledgeable on what it is that we're trying to achieve, and certainly in the atmosphere of diminished resources, this could be an opportunity to help us maybe not front the money, but certainly commit resources to help address this issue. So
is that a motion, David?
If you're making the motion,
oh, I'm trying hard not to make motions. I'm just throwing things out because I'm a co-chair. I don't think we're supposed to make motions. Can I make a motion, just for us?
I think someone else can make a
okay.
motion.
Okay. Can we get with them again?
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to discontinue paying for...
To eliminate. They haven't hired the consultant. Okay.
And turning to the CIOs to fill that gap.
With the help of CIOs and their wisdom and direction to continue to leverage on all the work that we're doing collectively to work on integration and the outreach to the justice partners that is already taking place.
We're developing our case management system.
I'm checking that motion.
All right, so the motion, as I understand it, is to eliminate the contracting out, turn to the CIOs to perform that function as opposed to a contracting out employee.
What is the costing on that? What's the cost savings?
200 and...
213 or something.
Just to qualify this, that $229,000 relates to costs in addition to the $200,000. So the $200,000 is related to actual staffing costs. That $229,000, the savings, is actually related to additional costs that they're foregoing with the consultant. So by making this recommendation, there will actually be no reduction in cost.
Is that reflected on that spreadsheet that you showed of their 15-16 allocation versus?
Yes.
Well, we're looking at page 108.
Yeah, because it was an estimated allocation on this chart here, I guess, is what you're saying, right, Colin?
That's right.
Okay.
So, looking at the contractor, then really, the 14-15 level is for two staff, one or two staff.
Right.
So if you really want to limit it to 200,000 from 14-15, you really need to limit it.
But I think Mark's discussion has been as it relates to what they were anticipating doing in 15-16, which is a 442,957.
What is the rest of the funding for then?
A staff person, two staff people. Is that right? The $200,000 mark is for two staff that work on it now?
It's for a single staff person and the rent and other associated costs. But it's one, and that is for the work that that group does for. Outreach, as you've talked about, but also doing the e-filing projects, the disposition improvement projects, the e-citation projects, so that one person would do all of that.
Isn't that what the CEOs are doing? Isn't that what your group is doing?
Yeah, we're doing those. We were just...
Yeah, there are two aspects of the project. One is e... I can't remember the name of it. E-services and data exchange is the other. So the team's the same, basically.
And do you think we could do it with the CIOs and not the...
I honestly do, and I'm going to verify that for our discussion tomorrow.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with the recommendation.
So would your motion be then to not only eliminate the hiring of a new consultant, but to eliminate the person that's assigned to the entire program?
Yes.
I second that.
That's an amended motion.
With the total savings of
400 and
No, it's 200,000.
I guess the first motion wasn't
going to be 200,000.
Got it. Okay, so the substitute motion is to have that also eliminate payment of staff for those. For that work.
A question. So, David, you were going to talk with your people later today or something.
Yeah.
I mean, are you saying that you don't know for sure that you have capacity in the work stream?
Well, no, I think there is capacity. I wanted to have an opportunity to talk to them to make sure.
Okay, because I'm wondering if we should wait until you get the answer to that question before we eliminate.
We can come back and vote on it again if, and change
if the,
it.
If the answer is different.
And I'll have to do the same, Kim. David clarified for me that my CAO is helping with one of the other work streams, and we're replacing every case management system over 4.5 years, so I want to make sure he has his Sunday mornings free, because that's when he'll be doing this.
Okay. Clarification. Does the motion then to they were seeking a contracting out position. Is the motion to not approve that
because
they haven't done it yet, and then to eliminate one staff member?
Yes.
Okay, that is the amended motion that has been seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That motion passes.
I had a question on that.
Okay.
Is it eliminate a staff person, or is it eliminate the base funding?
The funding for it. I don't think we can eliminate.
The funding for it, the 200.
We're not going to tell them they have to eliminate a person.
Right. So
the base
funding.
They just told us what it was for. Right.
All right. Why don't we take a 10-minute break? We'll be in recess for 10 minutes.